Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring your host, the one, the only, my bro, Joe. Joe Shortridge.
What the bro?
And his sister, me.
You know, I saw a wrestler walking by.
I did too.
I didn't talk to him yet, though.
All right. we are recording this in the very past, not the future, the past.
Past?
From the Collingwood Arts Center, Paranormal Toledo 4, 2019. And with us, we have the beautiful, the gorgeous, the talented, the getting married again, Nadine Bushman. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yes. Welcome back. How's it feel to be back?
Feels good. It's been a while.
Good.
About how long has it been since we've had return guests? We'd love having return guests on.
I don't know.
Over and over and over.
Butler.
Yeah.
Butler, Pennsylvania?
Butler, Pennsylvania.
And then
was
you guys
that?
Came to the house, too.
Yeah, you came out to our house.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Or my house, I shouldn't say. Our house.
Joe's house.
I'm alone.
The house.
I live alone.
Except for the spirits.
Yeah, except for the spirits.
I don't have many spirits in my house.
Why not?
I don't know.
You're not inviting them in?
No.
For tea and coffee?
Tea and crumpets?
Now, talking about having spirits in a house, yeah. I have a feeling Nadine has some lurking around.
We do. Still, yes. We have a couple. We have two gentlemen in the living room. I'm not sure who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But they like to talk. And it would be just like you and me talking. You can hear two guys in the living room talking. And when you go out to the living room, there's no one there. And the dogs hear them. And it's pretty interesting. And, you know, we've got stomping up and down the steps now.
Mm-hmm.
Footsteps in the bedroom upstairs. Just weird stuff, you know.
Well, they've been there a long time because you've had them there since, do you believe, since you moved in? Or do you think they came with you from somewhere?
I think the guys came from Holcomb Road because they showed up right after Holcomb Road.
Okay.
But the stomping, that's been there since the beginning, but it stopped for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's back.
Wow. That's incredible. You guys do a ton of investigations. Tell our listeners, how do you protect yourself from something negative coming home with you?
Well, you try.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't actually always work. Being an empath and a medium, it's almost like they're attracted to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, to like darkness to light, or, you know, like, I guess that'd be the easiest way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that they're all dark, but you go in and it's like a fine balance between you want to be open to investigate, but at the same time, you still have to protect yourself. And I'm kind of still fighting with that.
Okay.
I'm trying to grasp how you have this white bubble around you
mm-hmm.
while you're investigating, but you're still able to communicate.
Right.
And I don't quite have that down yet. Place.
Yeah. Okay. You guys just had an investigation, went to Prospect Place. I can remember the name. How did that go? Because it seemed like it was a little on the negative side or dark side.
It was, actually. But then when we got to town, what I found shocking was the town has a mall, and the mall is called Burial Mound Mall.
Really?
And it kind of shocked me because I thought it was a little disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I had thought, well, we really should have brought an offering with us,
mm-hmm.
you know, and asked for permission to enter. And we didn't. Mm. And I don't think we were well received because of it.
Mm. Okay.
And then, too, I think the house, I think that there's something on the property. They say there's no historical documentation for this gentleman who was hung in the barn by the slaves. But, of course, there's not going to be, because if the slaves hang a guy, then the owner's going to be responsible for that.
Oh, yeah.
But
and the slaves will get killed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But apparently, I guess a bounty hunter went up there to get some slaves and take them back. And after the bounty hunter was sent away, I guess he had come back, or I guess the slaves had gone and actually gotten him.
Oh my God.
And brought him back and hung him in the barn.
Oh man.
And we got a very extraordinary picture that couldn't be, because there was nothing shiny in the barn. And when I had showed it to a friend of mine, she saw the same thing I did, which is a hooded figure with like orangish eyes just standing there in broad daylight looking outside at us. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I see you.
Wow.
And it was a very negative presence there. And it just did not want us there.
Wow. And people, there's been a lot of people gone in and investigated in there. You think that people bring stuff with them, or do you think they're going into these places and conjuring up things they shouldn't be?
Oh, it's interesting you say conjuring. There's a story which some will say is not true, but when you go up into what's the ballroom, we would call it an attic.
Okay.
But it's a very spacious attic, and I could see why people would have a party up there.
Okay.
They used to apparently have dances up there, and it's like on the third or fourth floor of the house, almost at the very top of the house. And if you go up there, supposedly there was a time period when a satanic cult was using that up there to conjure.
Oh my gosh.
And the story that's on the internet is that there was a cross painted on the wall to block this supposed portal. Well, when we got there, there was a cross painted on the wall. And the caretakers of the property actually showed us a video of an individual going in there and bowing down in front of this cross and saying, "Hail Satan."
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, you kind of wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's the thing. You don't know who's been in there before you. You know, the weekend before somebody, you know, you don't know what kind of groups are going in there. So it's a little, you know, disturbing that you could go into the place not knowing who's been there before.
Especially with a place with a history and almost a dark side history as that place.
Was that, it was a stop on the Underground Railroad? Is that what it was?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mr. Adams had opposed his father, who actually liked slaves, liked to have slaves. He was appalled by it, so he was an abolitionist and joined the Underground Railroad.
Okay.
Built his own house, and in this house down in the basement, they actually had slaves who would come in through the door, and they would be in there, and they would hide down there. And so, yes, it was very much a part of the Underground Railroad.
So you have a lot of history, a lot of scared people,
yeah.
A lot of people.
That's what I was just thinking.
Deep emotions, very emotional state, and then you have teams coming in and doing whatever they do. That, yeah, that's a, you know, you really have to be careful and
right.
Protect yourself, because, you know, you could have things following you home. You could get spirit attachments. Have you ever had a spirit attachment?
Several times.
Okay.
I've gone to places where they were just urban legends and brought things home.
Mm-hmm.
I have gone to places which they're actually on the haunted history tours in Ohio, and we've gone there and I didn't do my research, which, please, people, do your research. I went there and did not know the history of the Cholera Cemetery and did not realize there were angry spirits there, and it was not a good experience, and it caused me quite a bit of trouble.
Yeah. Now, for our listeners, if they feel like they have an attachment, what would you suggest that they do?
Depending upon their level of knowledge, it would be a different answer. Mm-hmm. I would say if you feel like you have an attachment, contact a paranormal team and have them come out, talk to them, let them know what's going on. But make sure you detail what's going on. When did it start? How did you feel when it was happening? Did something trigger it? Because the more information you can give them, the better off you are. So keep a journal. So when they come to the house, you can say, "Here are my experiences." And that gives them a better indication of what they're dealing with, and then they can try and help you.
When you left Prospect Place, what did you do to protect yourself from that place? I mean, being as strong as it is.
Actually, that was one of our hugest mistakes we've ever made. Everyone was so tired and they were so worn down from just the constant threats. We were told that they were going to kill us. We were told to die. We have EVPs that are just chilling. And when we left, we didn't do what we always do. We didn't sage and we didn't, you know, make sure to say, "You can't follow us. You will stay here and we are leaving and you will remain here." We did not do the normal protection stuff. And therefore, two of our team members have had issues, which we have been trying to help with right now.
Yeah. You know, and we've done it too. We've left places. And
that's the thing. You're just so tired at the end that you're just like, oh, man, I forgot.
We just helped out in an investigation in a house that was really nasty.
Oh.
And all we wanted to do was get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, literally.
All we wanted to do was get the heck out of there.
The ceiling was falling down.
But the thing is, place like that, and we were only there for, what, 40 minutes? And we had so much evidence coming out. I mean, like visual evidence and mirrors and stuff. And we just left. Halfway down the street, we're like, we forgot again. And the weird thing was, the other team that we were doing the investigation with, they found out that the owner wanted to kill herself by blowing the house up.
Oh, my.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
She wanted to turn the gas stove on.
She had dementia.
And blow it up. Yeah. Okay. Well, when me and Jen left, we got to the end of the street and we heard an explosion.
Yeah.
A loud.
A loud.
Oh, wow. Like,
not just fireworks. Loud. Like,
loud.
We're like, what the?
Yeah, we didn't know what it was.
Well, we didn't think anything of it. We didn't ask the team, you know, did you hear this? Did you? We just drove home. Well, I was talking to the person today. And she said the same thing where she found out that the owner wanted to kill herself, all that stuff, by blowing the house up. They were standing in the front yard when the explosion went off. Or no, I take that back. I'm sorry. They were leaving. And as they were leaving, the explosion went off. And the girl is with the team actually grabbed her daughter and covered her because she thought the house exploded. Because
it was that loud.
It was that loud. Yeah. It was crazy.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Now, we didn't hear any sirens. We didn't hear, I mean, it was like nothing. And that goes back to the thinking, did we hear it? Or was it put in our minds?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I don't know, but we've kind of physically, like, jolted.
Well, we jolted because we heard it, you know?
Speaking of weird noises.
So that all goes back to the same thing is, did we hear it, or was that put into our mind by the spirits?
That's interesting you should say that, because some of the experiences that I personally had at Prospect Place, I wondered if it was like a kind of paranormal PTSD kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because of things I had seen in the past, if it wasn't something that was put into my mind, into my head. So I never said anything, because when I'm on an investigation, I never go, oh, did you see that? Because well, you know the whole theory. If you say, did you see that, and you describe it, everyone's going to go, oh, yeah, I did. So I went throughout the whole night and had several things happen, one of which was I was wearing a crucifix, and we were up in the ballroom, and it got lifted up off my chest and yanked off, and 6 inches of it was torn off of it. That we never found.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm not going to say that I was scared, but I'm intelligent enough to know that that's not someplace I needed to be.
Yeah.
So I did not return to the ballroom for the remainder of the night.
Okay.
But did I do anything in the moment? No. I didn't say anything. I said nothing. I just very quietly took it and stuffed it in my pocket. So, you know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah. Now, do you know if anybody caught that on video or anything?
Yeah. We weren't even, we were doing the walkthrough.
Oh.
When it happened. It was broad daylight doing the walkthrough, no equipment, and it happened. And when we got downstairs, I had said to a couple of the people, I had said, I don't want you to mention this to some of the other people, but this is what happened.
Yeah. You know, I was just talking to a gentleman today that he sees us on Facebook, and he came to the conference to see us. And me and him were talking, and that's one thing he said was, I get out of my car and stuff happens. I'm like, I've learned that anytime you go to an investigation, before you get out of the car, at least have a recorder going or something.
Right.
Because that's when the stuff happens.
Because if you think about it, how many times during your breakdown or your setup, before you ever do anything, you catch this stuff, and it was just like a random fluke that I took a picture when I had this very odd sensation of what was going on in the barn. I thought, okay, I need to take a picture.
Yeah.
And I can show you the picture later. It's amazing. And I don't know why I took it, but there it is, and it's staring right at me.
Yeah.
And that's the only evidence I have that there's something in that barn other than the EVPs and stuff from later. But if I hadn't taken the picture, I don't know if I would have ever even noticed it.
Yeah, that's what I say. Before you even get out of your car, be prepared.
Yeah, you never know.
Investigation starts right now, you know?
Yeah, and they probably knew you were coming, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because especially you being sensitive and a medium. They know somebody is coming that can sense them and see them.
I think they did. And the terrible part was that I'm a haphazard medium. I have no clue how to use it. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't have a clue. I don't know how to shut it off. I just know that it got turned on when I went through a very traumatic experience. And then there it was.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm learning boundaries with it. Like, I'm learning to say, you can come in my house, but you can't come in my room. Mm-hmm. And you can't be here if you're negative, and don't touch my dogs.
Yeah.
So I'm learning how to, but I would say I'm probably very defensive with it still, because I'm not quite comfortable with it yet. So I'm not at the point where I could say, like, hey, I'm Rebecca Smuck, and I can walk around and go, oh, well, there's a guy over there and this and that, you know.
Right, right.
I'm not there yet.
But coming in a place like this, you'd be able to, you know, talk to Rebecca and hopefully she can guide you into how to navigate this world, you know?
She does.
Good.
She does. And we were talking earlier, and she tends to look at me sometimes like my older sister who's going, what did I tell you? But, you know, it's because I'm stubborn.
No.
Terribly stubborn.
Let me ask John about that. No.
Yeah, no, you don't need to ask that one. I am stubborn. But, yeah, and then when I come into a building like this, you come in here and it's like you get all this pushback. When I go into some buildings, I will just get terrible, terrible pushback. And it'll just go right down my back and it'll feel like I'm on fire. And when I walked in here today, and we had come in on the stage, I was sitting over there for the longest time. I didn't say anything.
I noticed you were just, there's something going on. I was like, there's something going on with Nadine.
Yeah, and then the fan over there was shut off by itself. And then someone came in and said, oh, you know, this spot, watch this spot. Because during investigations, we have terrible trouble with battery drain and electrical equipment problem. And I was sitting there thinking, of all the places in this building you could put me, sit me right over the spot like that.
All the places, right?
Well, Jen went down in the basement already.
Yeah.
Or I should say already.
Earlier.
And she comes back. She says, the obelisk is dead. The recorder's dead. A K2 was dead. All this equipment. I'm like, no, I just put all new brand new batteries and everything.
I just walked downstairs. And then Tammy was with me, and we saw a shadow figure go across the floor. And like three of us people were down there, and we all saw it at the same time.
I've probably seen that same one down there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I went downstairs, but I couldn't make, they had the door locked from the way that I went down there.
Right.
You have to go around the other side of the building to get down there where it's open. But I'm telling you, the Collingwood Arts Center is by far my favorite place to be. And I have not done a paranormal investigation here in a long time. And we need to do it again.
Yeah, when we did the last one here, I had a really, really bad experience up in what they thought were the cells. And then later we found out that they were like a hospital type of thing where they treat people with medical issues. And I wasn't the only one that saw it. I mean, you could literally see a very tall, dark, black shadow that when it moved in front of the window, it would block out all the light. And it would walk right up to the door and stare at you.
Huh. I've never seen that.
And it would not walk out of the room. So, well, what did I do like an idiot? I walked in.
Say, you went in, didn't you?
Hey, that's, we're paranormal investigators. That's what we do. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And I later found out the gag reflex thing that I have when I'm around stuff, it's not uncommon.
Okay.
It happens to a lot of people who are sensitives and empaths and mediums.
Wow, I did not know that.
You know, I've met quite a few people who will say when they're in a room with something and it's just so oppressive, they'll feel like they're going to literally throw up.
Oh. And you see that, I mean, I know we talk about the TV shows, but you see that on the TV shows too, where people are like, I don't feel good, I got to sit down, I got to, and I look at those and I'm like, whatever. But then you know, being out in the field, I see that a lot with normal people, not TV right. actors or that, but, you know, and it's just something that happens. I mean, I was just talking to a gentleman, and we're sitting here on the main stage in the main auditorium, recording in front of a live studio audience, but above us,
one person out there.
Where? Oh. But above us is a big dome. Okay, the theater's a big dome, and stage left up in the dome is an apartment. And I've been up in that apartment several times, and the floors feel like rubber when you're up there.
You get a swimmy
around.
Feeling, like the funhouse effect.
It's the weirdest feeling I've ever
really?
Had.
Yeah, Joe and I separately experience that. You go up there and it's fine. I mean, the floor's not spongy or anything, but you literally feel like the floor is going like this. Like.
So it's like one of those mystery house
yeah.
kind of feelings.
Yeah,
exactly.
Very strange.
And right now, you can only get to it with the going up the elevator. But one of the cool things that I've done in this building is above the dome, stage right, where the cells are that, you know, you said now, which makes a heck of a lot more sense that they're infirmary or whatever.
Right.
Where they helped people instead of being cells where the nurse or where the nuns live.
Right.
There's a little tiny door across the hallway.
Right. I know that door.
Yeah. It's right up here, stage right. Above the dome, like three quarters of the way up the dome is that floor. And I really enjoyed coming in there. And you walk across and you're on the top of the dome.
Right,
I've
been up there.
You can't touch it, you know, because it's plaster and everything. But I've always liked that little area up there.
It's and amazing. I mean, we were doing one of the tours or one of the ghost hunts here. And our group left without us. Because I had to step out because of what had happened in that room. Well, then our group just left us. So the building custodian took us up there to see that room, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny part was that when we were up in where the medical rooms are, that little door, which is supposed to be locked, opened.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And we're all standing there like, you know, okay, what are we going to do about that?
But that was the way that I always got to the apartment, was I went through a little door, and then you walk on the catwalk around the dome.
Yeah. Right.
But if you get a chance to get up there, and anybody listening, if you come up to the Collingwood Arts Center, make sure you go into the apartment above the dome. Just ask them. You go up through the elevator now. You're allowed to go up there. And it's one of the places in this building where I felt the weirdest. And, I mean, we've mentioned this many, many times on the show where I've had things happen to us down in the death room in the basement. You know, and we have that video on YouTube. If anybody wants to go up on YouTube, go to our website, our 222 video channel. And it's Spirits Touching Jen or something like that it's called. You'll see it.
I have a question. It's totally unrelated, but I'm looking over at your booth, and you have the black mirrors there. Can you explain what those are and what you do with those?
They're scrying mirrors.
Okay. What does scrying mean?
There's two types of scrying mirrors there's probably more, but there's two I'm aware of. There's one which is a standard issue mirror, and I used a standard issue mirror once, and basically they're a tool.
Okay.
The way to look at almost all equipment in the paranormal field is a tool. It's like a dowsing rod. It's a tool.
Okay.
Some people think it's like using a Ouija board.
Mm.
It's not.
Okay.
Basically what it is there's different ways of doing it, but what you're trying to do is you're trying to communicate. You're trying to see something or talk to someone.
Okay.
And the principle of it is that you go into a dimly lit room, and some people have candles. Some people use, like, they put up protection circles and things. It just depends on who you are and how you do it. And you sit with it, and you're going to sit it at an angle where you can't see your reflection. So you're looking at all black.
Okay.
And then what you're going to do is you're going to declare your intent, your focus. Like the one time I did it, I wanted to talk to my mother. And then you look into the mirror, you empty your thoughts, and all you're thinking about is that one intent. And what you're going to do is you're going to look into that mirror. And it doesn't work for everybody, but it worked for me. And you'll look in that mirror, and I guarantee you, if you do it, and you're the kind of person who can focus and really get it going, you're going to see things. I saw full color images that blew my mind. I mean, literally blew my mind. And people are going to tell you that's witchcraft, that's divination. No, it's a tool.
Yeah, just like anything else.
And if you learn how to use them, like we have directions over here on how to use them, and it has the history of the scrying mirrors, and it's really interesting. But if you get a chance to try one, you should.
I have a big one at home, and I've always used it for my photography when I was doing product photography. It was just, it was just a big piece of glass that was black.
Right.
And it's great for photography.
Right.
Because what I was doing was I was doing micro photography of little ports that they put in mice brains.
Right.
For medical use. What? Yeah. And
poor mice.
Yeah, but they were so tiny. I used that mirror because it brought out all the colors, you want to say, of the metal of it. And
right.
I've always used it for photography. And then I started going to these conventions. And everybody started talking about scrying mirrors, and I'm like, I got that at home. I didn't know what it was. So I'm looking for a frame for it. Anybody has a nice, spooky frame that I can put in there?
You know the truth about the frames, though? You're going to go to some of these paranormal conventions, and you'll see people who sell scrying mirrors, and they have these beautiful Victorian-looking gold frames around them. Those beautiful Victorian gold frames will distract you from what you're trying to do.
That's true. I didn't think of that, yeah.
The most easy, simple piece of equipment is a black mirror with a black frame because it doesn't draw your attention out to the side and you can focus on that mirror.
You know too much about me. I see shiny things. And like, oh, look, shiny things.
Oh, I see shiny things. Yeah.
And squirrels.
Yeah.
If I was like an otherworld creature, I'd probably be a Valkyrie because I love shiny stuff.
But yeah, I've never used one. I've seen like, you know, with Greg and Dana, with the Traveling Museum of the Paranormal, they always have one, and right. I see people using it.
But I never knew what it was.
Neither did
I. I was like, I don't know what it is. But
they have a mirror there. I think what it is if you look into the mirror of the Well of the Soul, which I don't know. I can't remember exactly what it's called. If you go to their website, it'll tell you what it is. But if you look in it, people see different things, and some people have been pretty freaked out by looking in that
really?
Mirror.
Wow. Yeah,
they've gone to paranormal conventions. There's all this noise around them. They'll look into that mirror and they will literally turn like white.
Oh my gosh.
Just turn around and they're done.
Well, that's one of the things that house that we were talking about where we did the 45-minute investigation, which actually was only probably about 10 minutes because it so stunk so bad. But that was one of the things that the team that we have with us, or the team that put it on and invited us to come, she actually saw someone in the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a mirror in the room, and part of the story of the home was that she would always stare in that mirror, and she actually a few weeks ago, went in there and looked in the mirror and saw someone behind her.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, though, you guys have met John Tenney, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
we were just with him last weekend.
You talk about, you know, John Tenney talks about time slips, and then he talks about how some hauntings are moments.
Yeah.
Like, if you focus that much intent on something, like, let's say she just valued that mirror, and just staring in that mirror was something that just, to her, meant everything.
Mm-hmm.
What if it left a moment?
Yeah.
It did. It put an impression on it.
Yeah.
Because we found out that she did have dementia, and, think about it. I mean, I don't have dementia or nothing like that, but I was thinking, if I had that, when we look out into this room and that, we don't see ourselves. So she forgot who she was.
Right.
And she would look in that mirror to remind herself of who she, or what she looks like.
Right.
So that was very emotional, and that put in an emotional thing. It's the stone tape theory, they call
right.
it. Just like we get haunted objects or stuff like that.
Right. If you value something enough, people talk about how inanimate objects can't be haunted. Well, I've never believed that because I've got a watch that belonged to my grandmother and to my mother, and I typically carry it everywhere I go. Lately, I've been giving it a break because I've had a couple of mediums who've handled it and who've said it's very hot to hold. And they say that they just feel a lot of memories in it. And I had to kind of hang it up for a while and give it a break because it's been a little easier for me to focus without it.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that my grandmother and my mother both left some type of imprints or some type of memories or something with that watch, and then it's in there.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Will you pass that on to your daughter then, since it came from your grandmother and your mother?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Are you going to imprint something in there, too?
Oh, I'm sure it's imprinted. It's so I walked around in my pocket for well over a year. So I'm sure that it's got plenty of imprints.
With you finding out that you're a medium, empathic, psychic medium or just...
Empathic medium.
Empathic medium. I know that you're struggling with, when you first find out you're struggling and everything with it. There's a lot of our listeners that are in the same position that you are. Is there anything that you can tell them that would help them?
Yeah, actually, you can't control it.
Yeah.
There's no control. And the more you try to control it, the worse it's going to get. Sometimes you just have to let it go. And just get used to it.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that you find someone who knows what they're doing, someone that you trust, that you have a relationship with. And I would suggest that you seriously get yourself a mentor, because if you don't, you're going to wake up in the middle of the night and you're going to have someone standing there beside you screaming in your ear that looks nasty or hideous, and you're not going to know how to respond to that.
Yeah.
You know, and they know they can get to you. And once they know they can get to you, they will never leave you alone.
I've heard that so many times where once they find out, I mean, you know, we go into places and we think that the spirits are there only. But the spirits can be anywhere.
Right.
You know, Rebecca has said that many times. She does things. She doesn't have to be in the house that she's helping people in and that. So it's almost like when the spirits find out that you're empathic or you're medium, they'll come from anywhere because
right.
they want, they're like, hey, she hears us. And once they hear that, it's like all these people coming in.
Right. Right. I've been sitting at my desk at work
mm-hmm.
and it's down near Fort Meigs. So you can't tell me there's not some activity there.
Yeah.
And I will be sitting at my desk and I'll see someone walk by my desk and there's no one there.
Oh, wow.
Now, if I was to tell my employer that, I mean, I would probably be given a health day or something. but I have seen it. I've had them in my car. When I get off work, they will get in my car and go home with me.
Yeah. We talk about that, bringing spirits home. Well, they want to ride in the car.
They need to be a spirit Uber, because
spirit Uber.
If they're going to like try to get a freebie ride, they need to be charged.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that bumper sticker, you know, no free rides, but I don't know what you'd say to a spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can show up at home and they're already there.
Oh, yeah. No, they're in my neighborhood. When I first found out I was a medium, there would be one that would wait on the corner just a block from my house. And stand there at the corner, just leaning on the fence, staring at me while I was sitting at the stop sign.
Oh.
And that was just too surreal for me, because now it was in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And
closer to your house.
Yeah. And like. So I realized there was no way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was told, well, you know, this is it, baby. You can't shut it off.
But as you learn, you'll learn to control it. You'll learn to shut it off. I mean, you're not physically shutting it off. I mean, they still come to you, but you'll learn to where you can block them out.
Right.
And tell them, go away. I'll talk to you later.
Right.
Don't wake me up in the middle of the night unless you're cleaning the house.
Right. I mean, I've actually had to ask them. I told them in the beginning, I said, okay, this is my bedroom. You can be in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't come in my bedroom.
Yeah.
Right. I need my room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then one particular one would hang outside the door and would get the dogs barking at him all the time. And I would actually have to say, okay, what is it you want to talk about? Mm-hmm. And they still aren't talking to me, but I would say, well, when you're ready to talk to me, let me know, but
mm-hmm.
don't get the dogs upset, because
yeah.
I can't sleep. So you're yeah. actually talking to them like you would talk to anyone
mm-hmm.
else.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes I feel a little selfish about it, because some days it's just too much.
Yeah. Don't ever feel selfish about it. You're in control. You're the one that's in control of it. They're not in control of you. You're in control of yourself.
And that's unfortunate, though, but if you really ever talk to any empath, I guarantee you the first thing they're going to tell you is they feel like they are responsible for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
And they're always apologizing, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they feel like it's their obligation to somehow make everyone happy. Right and
yeah.
happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where the term empath comes from.
You know, and it's yeah. very exhausting.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I mean, we have a psychic medium here with us today that she always says, it's too much. I had to leave. We were up in Michigan Paracon with her, and she kept saying, well, actually on Sunday, she didn't even show up because she was so exhausted because she was doing readings, and it's just, it weighs on you.
Well, it does.
Physically drains you, mm-hmm. right?
It does. When you go to investigations, when we went to help a particular family, I truly believe we were dealing with poltergeist activity because you had a marriage that was not doing well.
Mm. Okay.
And you had a lot of strife in the house. You had a lot of financial issues in the house. So basically what you've got here is it's a boiling pot just sitting there, just boiling over and boiling over and boiling over. And they're feeding off
oh,
of
yeah.
it. And when I walked in, the first time, I wasn't even in the house 5 minutes, and I saw something float right by me. So I knew this was not going to be easy.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's not, sometimes you can't help some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, and
just like human, like living people. There's some people, there's just, right. you could try everything, but they just, they're going to go on their path. They're going to follow their path, and nothing you can do about that, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
How they were in life is how they are in death.
And that know? Is sad. That is sad. You would hope that when someone passes, they would somehow find some sense of peace even in, but if they're wandering around, obviously, they haven't
yeah.
found it yet.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. You know, It's interesting. Now, since you come to terms with this new, I am very brain fart.
Now, as Tim told us, don't say it's a gift.
It's not a gift.
No, I didn't say that.
No,
I
wasn't
going to say that. I was going to say, now that you've become an empath medium, does it change how you go in and investigate? Does it make you not want to go to places, or are you more still? Oh, tramps revving up his bike. Sorry, everybody. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, does it change how you want to investigate, and does it make you not want to investigate?
Yeah, to both.
Okay.
It actually will change the way you look at everything, because there's no place you can go where it's mm-hmm. not going to affect you.
Okay.
But most of all, if you go into any place that is a paid type of venue, you have no idea what's gone through that door, like you've
yeah.
said.
Yeah, like we said earlier.
You really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're only going off of the history that you're picking up offline, and 50% of that might be accurate
yeah.
or might not. So you don't know. So you do the best research you can, and then you go. But then, like, I will never go to the Demon House in
Monroe,
yes.
Indiana, or some
yes.
place like that. Monroe.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. Hartford City, Monroe. Mm-hmm. I will never go there because of the simple fact that I have heard too many investigators state things which, to me, sounds like very negative activity, and you're not going to catch me there.
Yeah.
Because
why put yourself in this situation?
Exactly.
It's like if you went down to the worst part of the city and just stood there and be like, "Hey, everybody."
Yeah, look at me.
Mama's here, you know, like.
Look at all the money I have.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and I'm unprotected.
Exactly. Exactly. It's almost the same thing, you know.
Right.
It's like you have to weigh, am I going to have fun doing this, or am I putting myself and my family in danger? Because these things come home with you, you know. They could
right.
wake John up in the middle of the night. John, do they wake you up in the middle of the night, or you just sleep all night?
Her?
You.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
I sleep right through
he
it.
He sleeps right through it.
Yeah,
right.
No, I think it has changed me as a person because
mm-hmm.
people have noticed that I'm different.
Yeah.
But it's because it has affected me. It's made me quiet.
Yeah, I noticed. You're not as bubbly as you were before.
Yeah.
But you should be, because there's something exciting coming. coming up.
There is. And I am excited you about that. But I think that I'm still trying to process. I'm just at a different point of processing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, every day when I get up and I walk out of my bedroom, it becomes a battlefield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
And like you have to imagine too, because I pick up on everything. And I had a girl that used to sit near me at work, and she had terrible anger issues. And anytime she would have a temper tantrum, it would just roll across that aisle at me, and I would just feel it. And I don't know why with me, but it always comes in the form of heat.
Mm.
Like just like this immense heat is just rolling over you like a flame.
Wow.
And so it's hard for me to be around some people. So I tend to be very protective of myself now.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I still go. I hug, and you've seen me at the Paracons. I'm like this, like hugging.
She's a love baby.
And I'm still a bit of a nut, but there'll be times when you'll see me where I'm not. And today is one of those times, and it's because something has got me off center here.
Well, yeah. It's this building.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in here, you know.
And being on the main stage in the main theater, where all the emotion is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't sit in that spot. Oh, that's where she's sitting. Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah. They sent me in. Oh, hey, if you have electric problems over here, don't worry about it, because that happens to everyone. They think there's something that goes on here all the time. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. But, no, you know, it's whatever you need. If you need something from us, you know, we're always here for you guys. Always here. I don't know what I could do, but I'll do it. If you need it.
I think you'll find I think you knew that something was bothering me the last time I started mm-hmm. texting you.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm prideful. I'm not. I just have a hard time saying, hey, I'm having an issue with this. Because I've run into people who actually will say to me, what, are you scared? No, I'm not scared.
You've dealt with a lot of stuff.
I have.
It's confusing.
A feeling that I shouldn't be here. You know, like I'll get these feelings, and then someone will actually like defiantly want to challenge you.
Yeah.
And you just look at them and you're like mixed between like you want to slap them and like, are you crazy? But yeah, so it's kind of still hard for me to process.
And it'll come with time. A year from now, you'll be like, don't talk to me. I will whip your butt.
Yeah, full control over it, right?
Try. Trying.
Try. But so I know you have exciting news that we're going to be a part of.
Yep.
Can you share that with us?
Yeah. We are getting remarried after 34 years of being married. We're getting remarried at Hillview in Pennsylvania.
That's amazing.
And I think people think that we're crazy because we're getting married in a mental asylum that's haunted. But
doesn't everybody?
But if you go there, though, I mean, it's a good place. I mean, I really enjoyed the night we spent there, and it's got a dog that haunts the place. I mean, come on. But it's very active. Mm-hmm. It's a great place. And I couldn't think of a better place to do it. So
yeah, well, you know, this is what you guys love. This is your passion, is to go and investigate.
Yeah.
And love is in the air. John's rolling his eyes at me.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be beautiful. And we're really thankful that, you know, we were invited.
Yeah, and you know, I do have to say that I had a terrible experience with two dresses. And if it wasn't for, well, like you and some other people who, you know, Heather Hansen and Deb Markham and Jennifer. I'm trying to think of all the names that were on the card. I know I'm going to not remember people. You guys raised $200 so I could still get a wedding dress. And I was like, it blew me away. You know,
I wish I would have known you needed a wedding dress. I have one in my closet.
Should I ask why you have a wedding dress in your closet?
He wears it on special occasions.
This lady, or woman, I should say, she found out I was doing photography, and she gave me the wedding dress because she doesn't need it anymore. It's her lucky dress. She got married in it three times, and this is the one.
Do I really want to get married in a dress that she's been married in three times?
No, you need your own dress.
So we went and we picked it out, and I thought, well, you know, I'm not exactly the slimmest girl in town, but they actually found a dress that's too big. So I'm standing there and I'm going, this doesn't fit, you know, and I'm holding it up and they're pulling the back and I'm going, hey, this is kind of a cool moment, you know, but yeah, it was good. It was good. And we're excited and we're staying in a haunted hotel.
Awesome.
You know, they don't advertise that to everyone, but the first time we were there, they told us that, you know, they said, oh, it's haunted down this one hall. So guess which hall we got?
All right.
Hey, if you're going to get married in an asylum, you might as well get the honeymoon in a haunted hotel.
Well, I don't know about the honeymoon part because my son is going to be in the same room with us.
Oh.
So, that might not.
That turns out to be bad movies.
He can sleep in the hall.
Yeah, you know, they have these...
He'll need therapy.
They have these orange velour things in the hallway. It looks like the 70s exploded there.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Yeah, it's a fun place.
Yeah. But we want to thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much. You know, we love you.
Every time you come on, we have a blast.
I like it, too. It's fun. Yeah, I really enjoy
it. Good times. But anytime you want to come back and you have some spooky stories to share with our listeners, you're always welcome. And we will...
And if you're... in Ohio and you need some investigations done, get a hold of Black Swamp Paranormal. They're on Facebook. They're everywhere.
Northwestern Ohio.
Black Swamp Paranormal of NWO.
NWO, okay. If you have somewhere you want them to come out, they're everywhere. You can get a hold of them. She's really friendly to talk to, so get a hold of them. And
if you can't find them, just message us and we'll get you in contact with them.
Yeah. But anyways, thank you so much for coming
Nadine.
On. We enjoy it every time. And tune in next week, folks, for another exciting episode
of the TGT Paranormal Podcast.
Let's leave with some crud. Thanks, everyone.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.
We left that with crud.
Yeah. Seeing this other band.
Of your head.